Coming to you live from NoBrandCon in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, is Nerd and Ty. On this episode, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is making a reappearance. Agent Carter's getting a TV show. Transformers and Ava and Evangelion are crossing over. DC's Carnival Sadness continues, the Cyborg Edition. Bryan Singer is a terrible human being. Red Dwarf is coming back for the 11th season. Lose is released, and we read your letters. This is Nerd and Ty.
I ran out of theme song.
Right? Welcome to Nerd and Ty, the only podcast on the internet with a dress code. Gentlemen, we are live at NoBrandCon!
In a much smaller room than when we did the Sit-Down Show Con.
We have about as many people, though.
We have 20 more people than I expected.
This looks like a much larger crowd when it's in a smaller room.
It appears that way.
I'm 10 feet away from Archimize.
Right, no,
wow, that is...
He's finally here, the man, myth, the legend, who sends us a letter every single fortnight. The best part about this is we are in an 18-plus room, so I can slip a nipple right now.
But we can't talk about it on the show because this is going out to the same listeners as normal.
Yeah,
we have to introduce ourselves. I am Professor Furt. With me, as always, is the incredibly sultry Trey Dorn.
Hello.
And the mildly salsa-flavored Nick Azumi.
You can get me a Taco Bell.
But, gentlemen, no, we're live again. It's good to see all three of us here in the same room.
I know! I like it.
It's weird.
I remembered my tie this time.
You did. I didn't have to give you one of mine. I have to run to my hotel room 5 minutes before the show.
I've been wearing this since 3 o'clock. It's, for the listeners at home, it's 10:30 at night on Friday, so,
I brought an extra bow tie, just in case.
Have you been drinking?
A little bit.
Have you been drinking?
Water.
Nick doesn't drink.
And tea.
And neither do I.
I'm the lush of all three of us.
Fur's the drunkard.
I'd say that Fur's kidneys are doing the work that ours aren't.
Liver, Nick. It's liver.
My God. Where were you during anatomy class?
Well, I tested out of it so I could go be a historian.
Right?
How's that working out for you?
I work in a warehouse.
Hey, you know what? I'm the only one of us that doesn't have a degree in the field that I'm working in. I got kicked out of school. I was a broadcast journalism major, and I have a broadcast journalism job without a degree, so...
I hate you.
I used to have a job in my field.
Oh, but...
And then the economy fell.
Thanks, Obama.
He hadn't been elected yet.
But no, we got a great show for everybody tonight. Initially, it was going to be a really depressing show because we only had two stories like until 3 days ago. And then good things started to happen.
We only had two stories until 3 days ago, and we only had three stories until last night at about 12:30.
Right? But thankfully, things have picked up. Including, I love this story, in a recent interview with Wired, Joel Hodgson has announced that he wants to resurrect Mystery Science Theater 3000. Woo! This is an excerpt from the interview they had with Wired magazine. He said, "I've talked to a bunch of fans about their lives and what MST3K means to them. I'm overwhelmed by how many people took to that show. It really affected them. I thought if enough people still love it, I might as well, maybe we can bring it back. Even avid viewers sometimes don't realize that every major role in the show had been swapped out over time. So in my mind, the show is built to be refreshed with new people and new ideas. It's like Heisenberg uncertainty principle as it applies to MST3K. If it doesn't change, it's not the same show. And fortunately for us, as long as there are movies, there are always going to be cheesy movies."
I like that.
It could happen. And you know, here's the thing. Here's my idea on this.
It involve prostitution?
No, it does not. But
does it involve us taking over? Because I want to be Crow.
I would absolutely.
I got Servo.
Right? No, and I'd gladly take the main role. But here's the thing: for those who haven't watched House of Cards on Netflix yet,
I have not.
Not me.
Orange is the New Black is great. They got a new season coming out pretty soon.
They do, and they're going to probably do the same thing with Orange is the New Black. They overlaid commentary tracks you can set over.
Nice.
Right, no, over the show, so that you can hear the commentary. Why not do that with Netflix?
Why isn't there commentary on the Bacon Show?
What?
from April Fool's when they had the bacon cooking backwards.
Oh, and the chicken.
I'm sorry, that was a spoiler. The bacon's cooking backwards.
Yeah, no, they did that. But why not? Why not? They have a whole bunch of really terrible movies on Netflix. It's all public domain stuff. Why not let the Mystery Science Theater 3000 people take a crack at it? Allow you to pick, you know, make a comment that says, hey, Joel Hodgson and the team are at this again. Overlay the commentary over the show or over the movie.
Well,
it would
be complicated because first off, you have to get agreement from the people who made the show to let them do it. You want to market
Joel
it with
Hodgson
the name.
Is the creator.
No, not no. The creators of MST3K, you maroon. It's
of the movies.
The movies.
They're public domain. They don't need
what production. Movies are public domain? What are you talking about?
Hell, Rift
Tracks. You gotta go pre. Okay, Rift Tracks releases.
They did Night of the Living Dead live because no,
okay.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead
is
yes.
Public domain. There's all
right.
Sorts of public domain.
Well, you
right.
Got that in like Plan 9, but a lot of these movies...
have already been done.
Have already been done, or they have been bought up by the guy who did Press Start. Like, he bought a bunch of those movies.
Well, no, it's anything... the pre-1963 yeah. Stuff, if the copyright lapse, they remain out of copyright, and then if you go back far enough, it's bad. Anyways, I like the idea of more MST3K, and I'm fine with it. More movie riffing, better... Awesome pants.
Well, there's been a lot of terrible movies since
well,
MST3K.
Wasn't there going
right?
to be
no one's arguing?
Wasn't
what
there
going to
be like a Rift Tracks the TV show or something like that coming out soon?
You mean that thing on Animal Planet?
Oh,
it was Nat Geo April.
Oh,
right,
I didn't hear
day,
about that.
The Rift Tracks guys did a Nat Geo special. They did three like nature documentaries that they riffed over, which was actually pretty good. And actually, on I wish I could remember off the top of my head. Maybe somebody out here knows. This summer, they're actually starting to re-air Mystery Science Theater 2000 episodes.
I just desperately want them to pick up Buffalo Rider, which is, if you haven't actually seen the movie, don't. But type in Guy on the Buffalo on YouTube, and you get the best parts. To see them riffing that movie would be the greatest thing to happen to my life. And this one person in the audience knows what I'm talking about, and she's like, yeah.
Dude, I had to
start
summer camp with you and that
joke. Retro TV. They're re-airing MST3K this summer on Retro TV. Right. Some of the episodes that are going to be on are going to be, let me find out here.
Shows that feature people and robots.
Manos is going to be on there, the giant Gila monster, the girl in gold boots. Space Mutiny and Overdrawn at the Memory Bank are going to be on there.
What drives me nuts about Space Mutiny every time I watch it is that all the special effects footage of Space Mutiny comes from the original Battlestar Galactica. Every single inch. They just bought rights to that footage. And what drives me nuts, though, is every time I watch Space Mutiny is no one ever comments on that. There is not a single comment. The whole film, you know, it's make all the rock slapdash jokes you want to make.
Punch rock groin.
Yeah.
Cheese hard blast.
Yeah, it's... There's not a single comment that, hey, look, that's Galactica upside down.
Well, it was low-hanging fruit, and they really like to avoid the low-hanging fruit in those movies. So.
No,
yeah,
they don't.
No, they don't. Well,
have you seen the ones where they make fun of Martin Sheen's brother?
Joel Estevez? Does any movie really star Joel Estevez?
Well, God, they use the lentils joke.
Sir,
every
sir, you're needed on the werewolf set.
Oh.
You know, I know a guy who actually did cinematography work on a Joe Estevez movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I know someone who was Corey Haim's assistant on a film, and their job was to make sure Corey Haim was sober enough to be on set. considering Corey Haim's ultimate fate, I don't think they did a good job.
Oh.
We should.
Was it him or Feldman
that
got died young? Is it
Haynes? Feldman's alive.
He is alive, okay.
So I'll let you figure it out.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate that Trey sounded like Brian Blessed in Flash Gordon for a second there? Gordon's alive!
Oh, man.
Say, yeah, say any word with a short O in it.
Say available.
I hate you.
Say available. Say the word sorry.
Sorry?
It's because you're trying, and it's still bled in there.
I hate
By the way, Nick pronounces the word available.
He does, and I've pointed it out in two different episodes. And now I can't. Okay, so why don't we move on?
But yeah, MST3K, potentially coming back. That's good news.
Hooray!
Great news.
Woo!
I hate everyone. All right.
Speaking of potentially coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Worst transition ever.
That is a terrible.
It could be worse.
Apologize for the concept of transitions. Anyway, so because Marvel. God, we are having another DC versus Marvel thing tonight. Speaking of
always do.
So, okay, we put something in the middle.
Is it really, DC versus Marvel when Marvel's always just kicking the crap out of DC?
Well, Marvel's got another new TV show lined up. I mean, a lot of people right now have been enjoying where Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been going.
It's been good. I've been trying to catch up.
Hell, Hydra. But,
Words whispered between friends.
But the upcoming project that they have going on right now is a TV show about Agent Carter. Now, this would be starring Hayley Atwell as Agent Peggy Carter during the 50s with the founding of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was Captain America's love interest in the first Captain America movie.
And was the most devastating part of Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anybody not seen Captain America, the Winter Soldier?
Yo.
Man, that's supposed to be... This is... Needless to say, when she shows up, you're bawling your eyes out.
Atwell was a fantastic actress, though, in everything that she's been in. And having... Because Carter was such a... awesome character. It is a sin that we didn't get more of her on screen, and giving her an entire show, like founding and
well,
shield
that one shot that they put on was it the Thor DVD?
I haven't gotten to watch any of the one shots because I never bought the DVDs.
Which one was the Agent Carter one shot on? Anybody? Was it Thor the Dark World?
Did anyone other than Thor and I watch the one shots?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't feel as bad now.
But those were super. Those were really good.
Yeah.
They set up the potential for a TV show perfectly.
Yeah. It's well. One of the nice things also with the Peggy Carter TV show is it would air when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on is on hiatus.
Yep.
So you cover just that get ground. Yeah. So you just get constant Marvel Universe for like a lot of the year, man, and that would be great.
And then and then not to jump tracks here, but I mean, then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 2 would end literally the week that Avengers 2 comes out.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? How are they planning this?
Kevin Feige is an evil genius with insane powers and lightning from his ass.
Something.
That sounds really uncomfortable.
But Peggy Carter, the show, is...
I'm stupid excited for this, because anything that expands the Captain America mythos, and actually anything where we can get a female protagonist in these Marvel things, would be amazing.
You're maxing out the audio.
Sorry. I was excited about
but,
that.
But really, like...
They can clap. You can't clap.
Well, I need them to clap.
But it's true. We need to get some women lead characters in these movies and shows. And why not take one who is already awesome and give her something?
It's gonna happen. Thankfully,
it's gonna be great. I can't.
I'm excited, and I have no opinion other than saying woo.
You're just watching.
Stop that. Okay. Well, okay, so that's something to be excited for, but I don't know. This next one is really weird.
Okay, so...
Yeah, things that could be awful.
Hasbro... no, I'm sorry. Takara Tomy, I should say. Not Hasbro. Hasbro is the American owner. But Takara Tomy, the half-owners of the Transformers franchise, took out ads this month in hobby magazines across Japan, which feature Optimus Prime painted... like a particular Ava unit. Optimus Prime created like Ava Unit 1.
Is this yours?
Why is there a random Gundam?
Why is there a random Gundam here?
That's not on topic. That's... Anyways, that apparently Takara Tomy is going to do a Transformers Evangelion crossover. What the hell?
Well, to be fair, both of these are franchises that exist purely to sell toys at this point, so
yeah.
Let's be honest with ourselves.
Millions are going to be made on
this. In the ad offered a story synopsis, which I will now read to you. The angels are invading. Breaking a long silence, the mysterious life forms known as the angels suddenly appear. The weapons the UN forces gather together in retaliation can't even scratch them. In the end, they turn to the secret agency NERV to manage the anti-Angel strategy. Well, that sounds like Ava. With Neo Tokyo 3 in their sights, the Angels slowly advance upon the city, but suddenly a spaceship comes hurtling down from the sky above the Angels, the Autobot Skylink. Out of the ship emerges the warriors of the far-off planet Cybertron. They've come to investigate after noticing an unusual energy reading. We can't let disaster like the second impact occur on this planet. What? What are these monsters? Optimus Prime sets his sights on an enemy much bigger than himself. Which is true, because they're like two stories tall at most in Transformers.
Yeah.
And so, allow me to describe how a fight between an Angel and Optimus Prime happens. Optimus Prime goes, Autobots, roll! The Angel steps on Optimus Prime.
To be fair, the Autobots have fought Devastator and Bruticus before. They're super ginormous.
Bruticus too. Is okay. Devastator, he's what, like eight stories tall at most?
We come back to the Transformers content.
It will always come back to the Transformers.
Metroplex. Metroplex. Metroplex is big.
And now, more importantly,
he turns into a city. That's Primus. That's a god. You can't bring gods into this unless they're angels.
These are angels, so Primus.
But also, if Primus stepped on Earth, it would shove Earth out of its orbit.
Now we have a
Unicron versus the Evangelion units. I would totally watch.
But what would make this article better would be if it was Laser Optimus Prime.
Yeah, Laser Optimus Prime.
Painted like Ava Unit.
Totally left.
Oh my god.
We have to fill time now.
Wait,
you've got the next story.
On one closing thought, though, can you imagine how much different the first episode of Ava would be? Like, there's the third Angel grabbing Shinji by the head, and, like, blood is pouring out of Ava Unit 1's
cranium.
And
then Linkin Park starts playing.
Jesus, Trey, I was going to say The Touch by Stan Bush. That's some taste.
The cover of The Touch that Stan Bush did when Transformers 2007 came out in an attempt to sound like Linkin Park. That is a real thing. Look it up. YouTube. It is hilarious. There are two versions. One with the rapper, one without the rapper. But the entire time, the guitarist looks like he's having the time of his life. It's the best thing to ever watch, actually, because what it is that Stan Bush is trying to be all serious, the rapper's trying to be hardcore, and then the guitarist is just grinning like a moron, going, yeah! This is great! It is the funniest damn thing you'll ever see. And it's even funnier when you consider that Stan Bush was desperate to be relevant. Stan Bush hangs out at BotCon even the years he's not invited.
Jerry, can we put it in perspective that you are the only person in this room who still cares about promotions for the 2007 Transformers movie?
No, I don't care about promotions for the 2007 movie. I care about Stan Bush desperately trying to be part of them and not getting in.
I'm gone for like two minutes, and it's still Transformers.
He did the theme song for War for Cybertron. That was terrible. Oh, that didn't help. You know what? We should move on to something terrible.
What I've done.
Speaking of the worst, actually, no, this isn't the second worst thing we're talking about tonight.
Well, the DC Carnival of Sadness is back.
Yay!
Again, I'm always stood by the fact that you can swing a dead cat in Hollywood and you're going to hit somebody that's involved in Man of Steel 2.
Yeah, Man of Steel 2 is becoming this bizarre, like, monster of a thing. Like, when it was first announced, they're like, oh, Batman versus Superman. And we're like, maybe that might be okay.
It could be okay. And then they're like, Ben Affleck, and we all made fun of him. And we're
we gotta
fight the Joker. He's down at Fenway. We gotta get down
there. One movie with that accent.
one movie.
Two hours. I just beat the Riddler. How you like them
apples?
He won an Oscar for writing, not for acting.
You might recall that when that came out, Trey and I were pretty optimistic about that. But then things just kept getting announced. Like, oh, we need Wonder Woman in
Wonder
this
Woman
movie.
Wonder Woman added
too.
On is okay.
Maybe that
no, it could be good. She signed a three movies, so.
Well, yeah, we said it could be good, but then we remember David S. Goyer's writing the movie, so.
You could cast like the best actress in the world in that part, and David S. Goyer would write the worst thing possible for her.
He does that anyway.
The actress from the Axel Braun movie?
She's in Fast and Furious.
Gal Gadot.
Thank you. That
makes the Waiting For jokes better.
But that's the thing. Like, so we keep.
She's a badass. She's gonna make a great Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
But again, like, casting isn't the problem. But maybe we've got another problem. Wow, there's a lot of superheroes.
Oh my god! Didn't they have Green Lantern already in here?
There's rumors. Green Lantern was never confirmed, but it is starting to look like everyone who was promised a part in Ocean's 14 is like getting a part in this instead.
Like, okay, so there's talk about the Flash, because Lord knows we need to have two on-screen Flashes at once.
Well, they need to keep up with Marvel, because there's two Quicksilvers at once, so they need two Flashes at once.
What have they got for us now?
Well, everyone knows that everyone's favorite Teen Titan is Vic Stone.
Fine.
It's Cyborg.
Okay.
And he is currently a member of the JLA in the comics.
Yeah, Cyborg he was one of the best parts of the animated film Justice League War. Yeah. So we've cast our Cyborg in this film.
Because Lord knows we needed a 20th superhero shoved into this goddamn film. Look, I got no problem with the Justice League movie happening. I've got no problem with any of it. But you know what the Avengers did? Like, even the characters who didn't get their own starring movie, like, made appearances in another film.
They set it up. Iron Man 2, that's what they're doing here.
They're just having them all appear in the same movie.
That doesn't work.
They're gonna
like go through the kick line. We're the Justice League. Come and join us, we're the Justice League.
As long as Wally's in that kick line, I'm
fine. We're not.
It's gonna be Barry Allen.
I didn't want to depress you all, but Wally West showed up finally in the new 52. And the interesting news is that he's black, and that caused some controversy. The worst part of it, though, is he showed up dead with Starbucks. And he's dead. He shows up dead. So, yay. Thanks, DC, when we asked for Wally West.
Wow, they
sons of bitches.
So let's review where we're at with DC. DC, who have made several big press releases about how they're bringing Wally West back. And immediately kill him. Then they brought Artemis from Young Justice into the Teen Titans comic and immediately killed her. I think they don't like teenage superheroes.
They don't like doing things well. Is anybody who watched those highly successful television series and could easily be converted into a new comic book reader?
Yeah. No,
because
exactly.
DC, unless it's something written by Gail Simone, doesn't want you to read them.
I love Gail Simone, but of course she listens to our show. Every
of course,
year.
Gail Simone.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to our friend Gail.
You're a friend. You're going to do an interview.
Although, it's considered she has legitimately reblogged things for me.
She has. The thing is, I sent her an anonymous message on Tumblr. What is your policy on doing interviews? Do you charge for them? And she said, no. And so I'm like, okay.
Said I'm really busy and never have time for them.
She did. But that didn't stop me from being like, okay, well, hey, do you ever have 10 minutes someday to do like an interview? And I never got a response back from that. And that was as myself on Twitter, not as an anonymous.
Do you understand that it's because she has no time?
Right, no. It'll happen.
She's
too
busy writing everything good.
She at least listens to the show. She's a huge fan. So we're going to take
She's not writing everything good. Brian Vaughn is still writing Saga.
Actually, no. There are some good writers at DC
Matt
Comics.
Matt Fraction is Devil Hawkeye now, right?
The problem isn't the good writers.
It's
the problem
all the bad
is
ones.
DC editorial. No,
yeah.
Actually, the problem is Warner Brothers, who can't get their shit together with the cinematic universe, and David S. Goyer is crying quietly in the corner saying, I'll give you a cinematic universe.
Take this. We're going to have Superman killing somebody at the end
of
this.
We're going to have Superman kill a member of the Justice League every film. Wait, I went to a weird... Grimdark. It's got to be Grimdark. There we go.
We got to have... Superman's going to kill a...
He's
going to
kill Ben Affleck. Oddly enough, not Batman in the film. Batman and Superman are going to find that universe's Ben Affleck, who will be played by Matt Damon.
Can we? What a great twist would it be, though? We've been making all these jokes. What if it turns out that the Man of Steel sequel, the Batman versus Superman we've been leading up to, is that Ben Affleck Batman and real Superman show up from our universe, and the Superman we followed in Man of Steel was Bizarro the whole time? And they have to go pick his ass?
That would explain everything.
Brandon Routh comes back.
But let me tell you, that explains everything about Jonathan Kent if he's Bizarro Jonathan Kent. Because what do you do in a tornado? Do you go under the overpass? You never go under the overpass. He sends everybody into a slaughterhouse. But so obviously Bizarro Jonathan Kent would send everybody to the wrong place. Real Jonathan Kent would know the safest place for me in this tornado is that ditch 10 feet away, and I'd be fine. Bizarro Jonathan Kent says, let's go stand here and not move watching because of that dog.
Well,
it makes sense.
Well, it also would make sense that it was the Bizarro universe, because they keep saying that this is going to inspire us, and that movie just made me cry in a corner for 3 hours. So,
it was bad. It was awful. But not nearly as awful as our next story.
Oh my god. Okay, so you know how we're joking about how awful DC is?
Yeah, this gets bad. Everybody breaks.
This is actual
trigger warning.
Trigger warning here.
Let me put it that way. I say that unironically.
Yeah, no, this is unironic. Of course, X-Men Days of Future Past is set to release here in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Some of you know exactly where I'm going with this. Bryan Singer is officially, I think it's been official now, he has been officially accused of this, of sexually assaulting minors. The director of X-Men 1 and 2 and now Days of Future. Did he do...
And The Usual Suspects.
It's
one of the greatest films ever made.
Basically, what's... I'm not going to get into details because it gets pretty graphic, but the plaintiff was 17 when he claims that Bryan Singer forced him to do things that...
Yeah.
Nobody should ever have to be.
And unfortunately, there have been actually other rumors about Bryan Singer for a while, but no one's ever come forward. So,
but this is pretty bad news, I think. Or
how do you react to something like this?
What are we pointing at?
No, I was just pointing at Ice-T.
And I see.
I don't know why he's on my computer screen.
Because Law and Order, it got all Law and Order SVU up in here. This is bad news.
My fucking god!
Yeah.
This is another one of those times where you feel just dirty because you've
watched his
you
movies.
And you might like his work.
The first two X-Men films were actually decent.
And then the third one was terrible, of course.
But he didn't do that.
The Rush Hour guy did that.
But we're going to see
what happens. And he made Brandon Routh Superman.
Yeah, he did that one too, and that was actually a very good movie. Kevin Spacey, of course.
Well, okay. It was... Superman Returns, I wouldn't describe it as really good. I would describe it as...
Compared to Superman.
It was a sequel to the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2.
It was an
which
excellent
was a DVD
sequel to
release,
a DVD
put out 20 years after the movie came out. So a director... It's a sequel to a director's cut in, like... less than a million people saw.
Right, but of course the big thing about this is, of course, Bryan Singer's camp has come out, has denied everything that's been said about him, claiming that this is just somebody looking for attention before Days of Future Past gets released, because it's in the news right now.
This whole time,
and you've got to realize, too, and I mean, this is an unfortunate thing about Hollywood. This happens
A lot of the stuff gets covered up, and they're less than 2% of cases are actually false accusations in situations like this.
It's unfortunate, and I mean,
it's highly likely this is real, and we are sorry for ruining your Friday night.
Yeah.
Or if you're listening to this at home, your Tuesday night, your Wednesday morning, your me time on Saturday when you try to get away from the kids, and you want to think this world's an okay place. Sorry we ruined everything.
All we did was explain. I don't think we... Brian Singer ruined everything.
Brian Singer
ruined everything. Thing.
Like we need... Yeah, yeah. So raise your hand if you want to cry.
Yeah.
That, for the home listeners, that's only half the room, which makes me kind of worried about the rest of you.
Yeah, well...
What else are you guys...
This is, from what I understand, Singer's left the promotions for the...
I hope he left the promotions, because... See, now I've got this weird thing where now I don't know if I feel comfortable seeing Days of Future Past.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I want
because
to.
Because it's, I... Like, this is a film I've been excited about... And now I don't know if I want to contribute money towards something that
a potential pedophile may.
Yeah, yeah. It's this weird, awkward position where, and I know that it's not the rest of the people involved in the film.
No one else.
Patrick Stewart didn't know about this. You know,
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen didn't know about it. I mean, Halle Berry, everybody else,
Michael.
Is Halle Berry in that?
She's showing up as Star.
Okay. It's hard to keep track of who all's in that.
Michael Fassbender's in it, and he won't be furiously masturbating. That's his career.
You know?
That's his thing. That's, if he's in a Steve McQueen movie, there's a 50% chance he's furiously masturbating.
It's true. The real question is Fassbender furiously masturbating right now? Everybody picture it. We all picture it together.
Yeah, that's the image we're giving you to make you feel better.
If he's wearing the Magneto helmet, he can pretend that he's moving all the blood over there.
We should probably close the...
I hate you.
Well, we officially have deserved our status of being in the No Mercy room. Yeah. And we are glad we counted all of you back.
We just wanted to get away from the really uncomfortable topic that we had to cover.
So we had to talk about Michael Fassbender masturbating.
Why not?
Okay, now I know Steve McQueen, of course, is the director of 12 Years a Slave, but he'll let me tell you, every time someone says his name, all I think of is the actor Steve McQueen.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I'm like, Bullet?
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, and so what happens is, and so all I picture is Steve McQueen, the actor, driving a Mustang down a highway quickly while Michael Fassbender in the passenger seat is masturbating furiously.
Make this happen. Make it happen.
I want to see fan art. I want to see this on public.
Guys, if you would like to draw fan art and send fan art of Michael Fassbender furiously masturbating while Steve McQueen, the actor, is driving a car down the LA highway.
A Mustang.
Mustang.
350.
Please send it to
nerdyfly.tra.com and click on the contact form. We'd love to hear from you.
Or see
if you post it on Tumblr, send us the link so we can feature it in our show notes.
Or not. Please don't, actually.
I will. If you feel like commissioning someone in the Artist Alley at this convention to do this, I will not pay you money and I will be ashamed of you.
Perfect.
All right. So,
wow.
So... let's move
let's
on
get
to
away
some...
from that as quickly as we possibly
well,
can.
Well, as it's cold outside and there is no kind of atmosphere, the good news is that Red Dwarf, everybody's favorite long-running science fiction series of comedy.
Right.
Which once does feature an actor who was acquitted of sexual assault.
Wow, what?
Thanks, Trey. I thought we were going to go into happy places.
The person who accused him retracted her statement and had been a stalker of the actor. Okay? It's actually not as bad as it sounds. Craig Charles is the one who's accused.
Oh, okay.
Red
I started watching it now. I started watching recently.
That's why there's a gap between Series 6 and Series 7, kids. Red Dwarf is coming back for Series 11. Just took them 25 years to get to an 11th season.
And the British
If you look at the timeline, they made the first few, then they took like 2 years off, and then they did like through season six, and then they took like 5 years off, then they made 7 and 8, and then they took like 8 years off and made a 3-episode 10th series, and then they took like 2 years off and made series. No, that was series 9. That was the third, but then they made series 10. I can say words good. Anyways, Red Dwarf Season 11, which has been rumored, it has been talked about because Red Dwarf Season 10 was so successful, has not only been confirmed that they're writing it, but shooting begins in fall of 2015. No, that's when it airs. October of 2014 is when they shoot. Fall of 2015 is when it's going to air. It will happen. There will be more Red Dwarf. And Craig Charles doesn't age, and neither does Danny John Jewell.
And here's what I hope. I hope they keep the same kind of kitschy special effects.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the special effects have gotten better. Oh, God, no.
The special effects completely really change.
Series 10 got back to the core. It drifted a little bit in tone in Series 7 and 8. And then Series 10, the ninth series was a little kind of, it's a thing. It's a Blade. The whole thing's a 3-episode Blade Runner spoof.
Okay.
Then Series 10 really kind of returned to the core of the show.
Yeah, so, I know Series 7 I never enjoyed that much.
I liked it, but it's different.
Well, I mean, it's not that I hated it, but it wasn't. It's not like the other seasons where I'm like, oh, yeah, Red Dwarf. That one was kind of like, eh, well, it's on.
Well, you know, it helps that I liked Kachansky. And that I was a teenager watching it, and kind of a thing for her at the time.
I is dating himself super hardcore right now. He is way older than both myself and
him. I'm 33.
Yeah.
I have a bald spot and a guts.
I'm going to touch it. I'm touching your bald spot.
Touch it. Touch it.
I don't have a bald spot, and I never really liked Kachansky that much.
Nick, hey, Nick.
I liked Chloe Nutt. You just were mad that they recast her from Claire Grogan.
Yeah, is your hair pretty good?
Yeah, that's slowly going back there.
Yeah.
How old are you, Fer?
I 24.
Yeah, guess what? Full head of hair at 24. There was no bald spot, and it was thick.
Fur is the baby of the group.
So
we're trying to emphasize.
Talk to me when you hit your late 20s.
My hair is my fifth best feature.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
But so, more Red Dwarf. Yes, please. It's happening.
It'll be good. And I'll have time to catch up, hopefully.
Somehow going to have to explain how Chris Berry as Rimmer, as a hologram, has aged the degree that he has. As he is probably the most aged. The only member of the cast who is supposed to be ageless and immortal is the only one who is visibly aged. Everybody else looks like they just rolled out of 1988 all over again. Well, except for Robert Llewellyn, because his character didn't come to the show until 90. He came in Series 2, but he was played by someone else that year in one episode. It's called Crichton. Go watch it. He has a different accent.
The show's phenomenal. You've never seen Red
Dwarf. Raise your hand if you're in this room and you've never watched Red Dwarf. It's on fucking Netflix. My God, you people.
I don't have Netflix.
It's on Hulu. No excuses.
You have access to whatever he has access to, and he's seen it. Okay. And for those of you at home wondering, I just yelled at Nick's fiance. I likely will not be invited to the wedding now.
When is that happening, by the way?
I don't know yet.
Can I perform at your wedding? Like, is that a thing I'm going to be able to do?
Why would I want that?
I'm just saying.
Why wouldn't you?
I'm just saying. I'm a licensed minister with the Universal Life Church.
Trey and I will show up even if you don't invite us. Is what we're saying. Like, we'll be there.
And I'm wearing. I'm wearing a collar.
We have had so many people offer to.
I will dress up like Kenny Loggins and marry.
It's K-Log. Did you not see that Archer episode? K-Log.
I don't want my wedding to be a danger zone.
Why wouldn't you?
It would be Footloose.
He did Footloose?
Yeah, but I don't like Footloose.
Who does?
Well, no. The movie is terrible, but the song is excellent.
Footloose.
Put on Sunday. Take off your sock. Please, Louise.
Now, you see, the thing is, Footloose was ruined for me.
Jack,
in
get back!
Hey, go! Footloose was ruined for me in 2002 when I saw a stupid play of it.
Everybody cut Footloose!
Which featured someone from a high school in South Wisconsin saying, I want to have a party in my pants.
Your fiance is lying on the floor. I don't think she's moving anymore.
Wedding ruin. That's it. That's it, Fur. We're gonna come in. You bring the karaoke boombox version of Footloose to the wedding,
and you and
I and I sing it dressed as Kenny Loggins,
and I'll be Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Yeah. That'll work.
You come Kevin Bacon. Yeah. I come dressed as Kenny Loggins. I sing. You dance.
Can I wish that audio could show the feeling that's going through me right
can
now.
Can I be Tremors Kevin Bacon, though?
No! You can't be any Kevin Bacon!
I'll be the guy from Tremors 2 who replaces Kevin Bacon
and spends
the whole movie explaining that he's not Kevin Bacon. If you've seen Tremors 2, he literally spends the whole movie saying, no, I'm not that guy. I'm not the original guy.
It'll work. Nick, whenever you send out your invitations, we'll get this ready to go.
You get this ready to go, and I want to destroy everything.
I think this is a win-win.
I don't see how we can lose in this, honestly.
Or even lose it.
Right? No, it'll be perfect.
Speaking of
lose...
Oh, I have my murder.
Transition!
This is perfect. And this story was just found out this morning. I was getting my morning coffee, and I found this story, and I thought it was too funny to pass up. Video game creator Zach Gage, who's not really a big video game creator, he's created this new game. It's called Lose Lose. He didn't expect anybody to play it, because it's a Space Invaders riff. But every Space Invader that you destroy is a file on your computer that gets permanently deleted.
Oh no!
Yes! In this game, he didn't expect anybody to play it. However,
We didn't remember that people have access to their roommates' computers.
there is a high score leaderboard on his website. The high score right now is, let me find it.
Actually, people could set up a virtual machine and use that to play the game.
They could. It is the high score is currently 4,912, which means that somebody has destroyed 4,912 files on their computer permanently. And here's the thing about it, it's random files.
I'm suddenly feeling like there's like an incentive for me to get up to date, because I just came up with a really great way to prevent anyone from dressing like Kenny Loggins at my wedding. Because let me tell you, my score on Space Invaders... Awesome!
But here's the thing.
There's a password on this computer, you son of a bitch.
they did a little bit of research into this, and what he's found is that some of these high scores have been gained from IP addresses from Best Buys and Apple stores.
So, like I said, like this guy was not thinking about all the computers you have access to that you don't own.
Well, he did it as an art project. He didn't expect anybody to actually play the game based on the idea of, like, how far are you willing to go to get your name on a leaderboard?
Because he's naive.
Right? Apparently there's somebody out there that's willing to destroy 4,912 files on their computer permanently in order to get their name on the internet.
Oh, dear Lord.
That was a fun story, but we got mailbag at this point.
We can go to the mailbag.
We can
go to the mailbag.
I don't have anything else to add to that.
We're going to go, he's going to do the Arkham, then you do the Langland, and then I do the
he's right there. Can't we just have him read his own?
No, we will not, we may let them talk after mailbag, but we will not spoil the tradition of us mispronouncing and butchering their emails.
Do you have a Vomit Hat Steve email at least?
Yeah, I took a photo of the book with my iPad before I left. Good. So no one can look at the title and guess.
Perfect. What do we got for mailbag?
All right, we got one from Arsimus.
Archimi?
I believe it's Francis Archimies.
Archimies.
Archimies. Actually, technically, he wrote his name. It's Brienne Nabok.
That's a weird name for a boy. Brienne?
All Marianne Novak. Subject, next cosplay fad. Hey, nerds, ties, and live audience members! Woo!
I want to point out he did type woo exclamation point.
As with many convention scenes, there is often one cosplay that dominates the event through sheer numbers of people willing to do them. Bleach, Italia, Attack on Titan, etc.
I've never seen etc.
It's awesome.
What have you seen?
I've never seen etc.
The animation was done by Studio A1.
Oh. Ghibli helped out too.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Vic Mignogna voiced everybody.
No, it's not. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. My question is, what would be the next cosplay fad that you would like to see happen? Also, bonus points if you can spot a Hitalia Canada cosplay to prove to Nick and Fur that Canada exists.
No, there's not a single one in here.
Actually, okay, I want to say something. I was listening to old episodes, and apparently, you guys talk about
it in your free time.
Because I was comparing old episodes, and... Izumi here referred to a Canadian Nick in the episode in referring to a cosplayer, which implies that he secretly believes in Canada.
Why, Nick? You betrayed me.
Everyone betrayed me. I'm done with this world.
All right, so what cosplays? Let's get back to the...
Okay,
what cosplay do you think you'd be fat?
Cosplay fat? Here's the thing. I don't like cosplay fads that much. Because I like seeing people kind of go out and do their own thing, and when I see a zillion of the same thing, it kind of terrifies me. But if I were to say that there's a fad that I would like to see, I think it would be cool to see a bunch of people try to be Godzilla monsters and just see interesting... No, I'm being, like, completely honest here.
I would
love to see people, like, doing creative versions, like, I not necessarily monster suits. If they want to do monster suits, that's cool, but if they want to do, like, kimonos inspired by Mothra...
I
want to
see a Mothra who just slides along the floor of the convention on a skateboard.
I want to see a full-on Mechagodzilla. That's what I want to see. That'd be cool.
That would be my pick for a costume.
Which version of Mechagodzilla?
Okay, so I'm thinking of cosplay fads, and I'm looking at the room of people in front of me, and I'm just saying, like, oh, 10th Doctors, Sora. Chris, how many years did you wear that Sora cosplay?
Too many.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think what I'd like to see, and this is obviously not totally self-serving, is an unconventional cosplay fad. I saw at least one unconventional cosplayer today. Yeah. Sure, it's the same one who's been the only one to ever do it, but...
Well, it's who you basically got the character off of.
No, that is not true. I created Lynn Baxter for a project in 2003. I have the art and the dates and the photos... The proof is Lynn Baxter. That's why she's got a frickin' Baxter as her last name, because I later changed her nationality and I had to come up with a weird story to work it out.
Well,
and I did not meet Jesus until years later. Well, it just happens.
It just happens that you happen to look exactly like Jesus.
Well, no, not really, but
here's the thing, though.
I'm sorry. I happen to know a lot of short, dark-haired, angry lesbians.
All right, now, but let's be honest, Trey, you've been covering up for a lot of things. It's just like your whole thing with trying to censor the splendid
Zeus. For God's sakes, Lynn's personality is based off of mine. How have none of you figured it out?
Because you're not a short, dark-haired, angry lesbian. That I know of.
Well, no,
I
mean, but...
But, I mean, like,
avatars are
you're part of that conspiracy to put down that webcomic, and now you're denying that you based this character on a person. This is just real.
Look, what? Your mom?
See, now, what I want to see, in the near future, a lot of cosplays with ridiculous hair, and finally the Nicolas Cage cosplay circle will be complete. I want to see a Con Air cosplay. I want to see National Treasure. I want to see Wicker Man. I want to see Face Off.
But for the shortage on bald caps alone,
I'll be burned.
Actually, let's see the Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, first his first.
Yeah, one. Yeah. No, that would be
make it
great.
Happen. That's my...
Hey, wait a
minute. Next live show.
If,
I want to see every single...
If someone cosplays Dr. Tenma from the ass...
No one heard you.
If someone cosplays Dr. Tenma from the Astro Boy movie, does that count as Nicolas Cage? Because
yes.
He did voice that.
Yep.
Nicolas Cage was Dr. Tenma. I want that to sink in.
Okay, well, no. It's as we go back to the community, Nicolas Cage is not a bad actor. He's just crazy.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage, bad or good?
He's just crazy.
Wait, it was Superman, right?
Nicholas I'm a cat. I'm a sexy cat. Sorry.
What do we got next? Who do we have next?
I think it's
Langland, I believe, who's in the audience this evening. Something is Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Keel Longoland. You have to remember to say their name.
Paul. Oh, we have a Hispanic listener tonight.
Okay.
Says, hey guys, glad to hear you guys love the movie as much as I did. Perhaps even more. I liked seeing the Falcon make his debut. I also enjoyed the sequence way after the credits in the museum. Stanley's cameo was spot on and awesome. Although Stanley didn't create Captain America, it's always awesome to see him make cameos. When I was watching, my mind was going to some random stuff while watching. Steve Rogers made a statement saying he's 95 years old, and for some random reason, I was think it was that it was funny that he can collect Social Security and enroll in Medicare, which is random and weird thinking. Anyways, this movie was awesome, and Marvel is indeed an awesome company. All around, it definitely kicks DC's ass by a long shot. Okay, that's all I've got to say. Hope you enjoy reading this live.
Okay, so first off, he's 95, so if he enrolls in Medicare, he's going to have some wickedly huge late enrollment penalty.
No,
there's Medicare Part B.
What?
Let me tell you!
They're going to dock his paycheck for years.
Well, no, actually, because when Social Security is set up, and he is old enough to have a Social Security number, you actually just get paid out right away. It depends on the amount that you... But it's complicated. Like, it started paying out right away. So I think he would actually count to be grandfathered in, and he has wages that were deducted from his checks.
Yeah.
So, but really, because he hasn't been receiving it this whole time, I don't think the amount he would get. But again, if he enrolled in Medicare, he'd be looking at wickedly huge late enrollment penalties because he's way past his standard election period. His IEP and ICEP are long past, which are in the 7-month window around his 65th birthday.
I would like to
say, how long have you worked at United Healthcare?
I have never mentioned my corporate overlord, nor shall I ever, due to any implication of endorsement that it may or may not apply. So I cannot confirm nor deny my current employer.
Wait, how long have you worked where you've currently worked?
Yeah,
exactly.
6 years?
I'd like to point out...
Damn it.
It was
You're an evil man.
Where'd it go?
No, the hand is there. They're both here.
Well, everyone's playing with toys.
Okay.
I would like to point out that while Stan Lee did not create Captain America, he was the first person to write Captain America throwing his shield. And on top of that, he wrote Captain America in Avengers 4 and the Tales of Suspense comics onward, which means that he did create Captain America proper of the Marvel canon because the 1940s character is not actually canonical Captain America.
That's just...
That's information I did not have, and it is information I did not need. Part of my brain is now occupied.
God damn me,
For the listeners at home, while we've been talking about the actual show that we're doing here with all these people to see us, has broken a Gundam toy.
You're an evil man, Fur!
And made Nick's fiance cry.
And she gave me her Hawaiian punch too.
And weird. So that's how much of a bastard that Fur is. So everybody look at Fur with disdain.
Damn
it. It's back and he's doing the Thriller pose that I was trying
okay,
to do.
Well,
so
great. So moving on, we have another letter.
Really
which,
weird letter.
Written by one of our the only regular letter writer who all three of these letters are written by regular letter writers, but this one was written by one who is not in this room. So I have to read it. Kyle the Rock, I'm sorry, I gotta do this right. Kyle the Rock Johnson writes, "Dear Nerd at Ty, how do you type with your boxing gloves on? Craftily crap, Cage, Wisconsin." Well, Kanye the Boulder Johnston, the secret these days is that we are now all checking our emails with smartphones, which to type on we use our thumbs. I don't know if you have noticed this or if you are not blind, but boxing gloves do have thumbs. If you do not have thumbs, you may have a problem. If your boxing gloves do not, they are defective, and you should promptly contact their manufacturer for a refund.
So or at least tape some candlesticks to them or something.
For the younger folks in our audience who might be listening at home, Trey and Fur making a reference to a website called Homestar Runner, which was big when flash animation was still a relevant thing to look into.
Hey, there's a reference to it in the Buffy finale, which was over 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. Trey, that's
you're
not helping.
You're dirt, Trey, we get it.
I am actually the exact age of the Buffy characters.
Yeah.
No, this is not, like, when I was a sophomore in high school, it was first season of the show, which they were sophomores. So literally, when I got kicked out of college, Buffy dropped out of college. I'm not kidding. There's a reason why I really loved that show. When I was working a terrible soul-crushing minimum wage job, Buffy was working a terrible soul-crushing minimum wage job. That show spoke to me on many levels. When I was having sex with a vampire with a chip in his head,
Have you had sex with Booth? Because that would be kind of interesting.
Only John Wilkes.
Oh.
Six Semper Tyrannus.
Oh.
It just got
hurt. Yeah. Let's roll this to the Steve letter.
Vomit Hat Steve letter. Yay! So, for those of you who don't know, there is a listener of this show nicknamed Vomit Hat Steve. He is a human being who wears a hat that looks like it's made of vomit because it's just ugly and garish. It is not filled with vomit, as some of you writing in have believed. Nor does it smell of vomit, which would just be gross.
Trey, to be fair,
we wouldn't be hanging out with him then.
Trey, to be fair, there's no reason anyone listening at home who has never seen this person would know that.
Right?
Well, right. Well, Steve often listens to the show, but he refuses to write in. And so I ask that until Steve writes in, I have started reading random things. And it got on to where I read parts of books. And if you can guess what book I'm reading a part of, you get in the Hall of Awesome.
Awesome, that's what it is.
There are two people in the Hall of Awesome.
And one's sitting right
here. One of them is right here, Archimize.
Who's wearing a tie, by the way.
Yes.
Where'd you get that one?
It's more on cosplay.
It's phenomenal, I like it.
All right, and the other person in the Hall of Awesome is Zero.
Who's not?
Who is
Zero here?
I don't know who they are, so I can't tell if they're here or not.
Zero
anyway.
Already here.
The answer is no.
Clearly,
here could lie and say they were Zero.
Clearly, you've never seen Code Geass. Zero is a concept, man. You can exile him from a country.
Oh my god! You see, now that she's back, you could ask her a question, but it's too late.
Was he having sex with a vampire with a chip in his head? At any point in your relationship,
chip on his shoulder.
My lovely wife has shaken her head, but you have to remember, I met her years later.
Right.
All right. So. Now, occasionally I've carried over books because nobody has guessed them yet, and so that's what I'm doing. Last episode I read a rather, and I want to point out, this is what I'm going to read is not meant to be taken as fact. Let's just be clear, because especially after last week's one, which was talking about, like, faking fossils and, like, the
whole...
Yeah,
I was about to say, why do you own that book,
and why are you still my friend?
It's not... okay, so I'm going to read another section of that book. Now, if you ever know who wrote this, if you go to nerdandtie.trhonline.com and click on the contact form and tell us the name of the book this is from, you will be included in the Hall of Awesome. So this is... No, but we'll say your name every episode.
You will be remembered by posterity for generations.
And by posterior.
Yes.
All right, so...
But.
The following comes from our current book. The gray metahuman problem represents a serious threat to the Atlantean race, and few are conscious of this as the landmaker Lerual. A devoutly religious woman even back on Atlans, Lerual has always looked at life in as a series of moral and philosophical challenges. If you can tell us what book that is from, you can join the Hall of Awesome.
Tell us by going to nerdandtie.trhonline.com, click on the contact form, and let us know. Or if you have any other questions, comments, concerns, great recipes for this new steak that I'm going to buy in the next week, let me know.
Sure.
What is wrong with you?
I'm looking for new steak recipes.
If you like to know what's wrong with fur, please write to us at nerdandtie.trhonline.com and click on the contact form. Give us your input. Do you think he has megalomania? Is he a narcissist?
Yeah.
You let us know. Give us your psychological diagnosis of this young man, the only one up here who has children.
Yep. Until then.
Wait, we have time.
I have to get to the guest panels.
Oh. Did we want to let them talk?
We have time for two questions.
We have time for two questions from the audience. This guy with that epic beard.
What do you want to know, man?
A bit of a random question, but have you guys seen the new Ronald McDonald redesign?
No.
It's amazing.
Well, okay, later. Next question. Langland.
Oh. So, yeah. I don't know what to say.
This is just like every letter you write to us.
I know. I just read the bullshit. I always want to see if true correct.
All right, next. That person in the striped shirt.
So, if Transformers and Ava units...
Don't mention Transformers.
Shut up.
Just hold on. Where is Miley Cyrus in all of this with her freaking wrecking ball?
Who's Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, right. Next question.
My favorite host of MSD3K is Croatian Robot.
Woo! I don't blame her.
Which one?
Croatian
Robot.
Yeah, there's two.
Which one?
Oh, yeah, which
you Trace.
There are two. Or Bill Corbin.
I think it's the second one.
Bill Corbin.
Bill Corbett's fine, but who likes him over Trace? Oh my god.
Yeah, right. Trace is good.
Because the Trace episodes was Dr. Forrester, and Dr. Forrester is the best character.
I didn't like in Soul Taker when they did that throwout of your voice sounds different. Oh, you changed the bowling pin.
That was great.
Actually, they had changed the bowling
pin. They did. Yep.
It's a different size. All right, so, Langley, do you have another question?
I was going to say something between Burr and Nick. You guys get passports. I'm going to haul your asses to Canada to prove it exists.
It doesn't exist because I've never been there.
Okay, let me explain. Canada is a fictional country that was invented in the Marvel Universe so that they would have somewhere for the Guardian to come from.
Yeah, exactly.
The Guardian needs to have a country he protects, so they made up Canada.
I am going to twist your nipple right now.
If you would like to draw fan art of Trey twisting nipple... Please write to us at nerdandtie.trhonline.com.
And click on the contact form.
Sign us up, picture. Until next fortnight, I'm Professor Fur.
I'm Trey Dorn.
And I'm Nick Izumi.
Have a fantastic time, everybody.
Keep on blocking the football.
Shut up.
So is your mom.